My unusual title. Ready for it? I don't always title a message, but it kind of gets us focused, don't it? When you hear a title or you think about something, or I do anyway. Title of this message is Good, Good, Good. Now, I had this done prior to Brother Steve calling me this afternoon. Matter of fact, I knew nothing of that when I was working on this message today. But I would just begin to think about the goodness of God, how good God is. Somebody says there's a difference between good and great. If you settle for good, you'll never get to great. Well, God is also great. God is good. God is great. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands we all are fed. Thank You, Lord, for our daily bread. So we teach children from their infancy that God is good. We teach children how great our God is. Now I know there's always those that struggle and there's always those that would second guess the greatness of God based upon current situations, trends, and circumstances. But what I'm going through this evening has nothing to do with the goodness and the greatness of God. When you look in the Scripture, there's a lot of different places I could have went. And this particular grouping of Scripture has a lot to do with just exactly what I'm going to talk about. And it's found over in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 19. And we want to look in verse number 16 for a little while. You know the story of the young rich ruler. You know the story very well. My emphasis this evening is not so much going to be upon the young rich ruler as much as it is what he said. In verse number 16, and behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus, again in verse 17, looks back at him and he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? With a question mark. There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life and keep the commandments, he saith unto him, which Jesus said, Thou shalt not, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. I thought the Ten Commandments was done away with. Jesus shared the Ten Commandments with this young rich ruler. He shared that with him for the importance of him to understand that it's not his goodness that's what made him righteous. It's not my goodness. And I'll get into that later. And he says here in the word of the Lord, and he says, Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. They ought to left that one out. Hello. The young man saith unto him, All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, complete, or whole, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. The Bible says in verse number 22, And when the young man heard these sayings, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Stretch your hand this way and pray for me tonight. Father, we do love You tonight, and we thank You, God, for again the time, the opportunity to be here with You this evening. Father, I thank You because we know, God, that You are a good, good Father as we sing that song. Father, I thank You, God, even now for the power of the Holy Ghost that's been in this building already today. And Father, I pray that You touch every heart, that You touch every life, that You touch every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. I pray, God, even now for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that makes a difference in God. Without that anointing, we cannot do anything at all. But God, that all things are possible to him that believes. So God, I believe this evening, God, in Jesus. I believe, God, that You are a good, good Father. God, I thank you for your blessings upon us in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. When we look at this, I picked up on verse number 17 because he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God." When I began to think about this as I was working throughout the day, I began to reflect in my own heart the goodness of God. Has God been good to anybody in this room? God has been so good to most of you in this room. Others hadn't figured it out yet. But God is good. We think about good and we think about the goodness of God and we think about what the Bible says about that. Goodness is defined, if you look at it in the Vine's dictionary, it talks about agathos, pronounce that, and you'll know the Greek word for it. But when we think about this particular word, it says that it is being good in character or constitution, and it's beneficial in its effect. But in the moral sense, God is essentially absolutely good. It went on to talk about that it signifies that in Him is that He is capable of doing nothing but good. We think about you and we think about me and I think about us this evening because simply by the nature of who we are you with me tonight? I don't want to hurt your feelings and I don't want to hurt my feelings. But we're not good. In and of ourselves, we're not good. The young rich ruler had kept all these things from his youth, but yet there were still things in his life that, in my words, it would disqualify him from his goodship. Is that a word? Or did I just make that up? That it would disqualify him from being good. Now, I know that came as a shock maybe to you in this room that I would say such a thing as that. But the only good that is in you and I is Him. See, we look at the Scripture and we understand what the Scripture said because it tells us in Galatians chapter number 5. If you look in Galatians chapter 5, it actually talks about different aspects of the flesh and aspects of life. And when Paul was writing this to the church there at Galatia, he began to talk about the works of the flesh. And he talks about that in Galatians 5 and verse number 19. And the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? If you're involved in any of these, please don't look at me, okay? It says here, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And then he says, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, which is fighting, quarreling. Variance is hostility, wrath or strife or seditions or heresy, envies, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like. And of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's all really encouraging to all of us this evening, right? But when we think about the goodness of God, these characteristics, these particular things are contrary to the goodness of God. And the Bible lets us know that when God has called you and I out of darkness, but yet in the same regard, he goes a little bit deeper and he opens this up in the Scripture. And he says this in verse number 22, that the fruit of the flesh are the ones that I read to you, and the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Wait a minute. Goodness. I said that word, didn't I? See, within ourselves, we fall short. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But yet, in the Scripture, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. I heard Jensen Franklin say this one time. I don't do good to get God. I get God to do good. Amen. So goodness is a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. That's one of the ways that you can check and ask yourself if you're walking by the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not only can you check your love and your joy and your and all the other texts there that's found in verse number 22. The peace and the long-suffering. But you actually can look at this word goodness, which again, it means when you look at that being good in character or constitution or is beneficial in its effect. So in other words, it is a benevolence goodness that is, the Scripture is talking about. Here's a question for you this evening. Are you only good to those that you like? Are you only good to those that are like you? Are you only good to a certain nationality? Are you certain? Are you only good to a certain pool of individuals? Or is there something in your life that is dwelling up and within your heart that really makes you want to be good to those about you and those that are around you? When we think about the word goodness, again, it talks about in a moral sense and essentially and absolutely it means to be good, and good is the nature of God. And if God is in us, Paul said, and Christ in us is the hope of glory. His goodness, as Martha sings that song, His goodness is running over me. His goodness is running me down. God is good and all the time. Amen. We think about it. We think about, again, when we look at this, we think about the Scripture, how that Paul, again, describes this. I hope I got the right Scripture wrote down. I wrote myself many notes today. I didn't write big notes. I wrote little notes. So I'm going to turn there and look. In the Scripture, this is one of the things that Paul said, and I know the Scripture is correct because I know what it says in the other part of the Scripture. But this is what Paul was saying again in Romans chapter 7, verse number 18, because this is what he says, "For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Wow. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I think to myself, I think about how that oftentimes we think that we're all that in a bag of chips, but really, my friend, we ain't all that in a bag of nothing without God. We've got to have God in our life. We've got to have Him. Paul said, "In Him I live, in Him I move, in Him I have my being." If there's ever been a day and the hour that the church needs a dose of the Ghost, it's the day and the hour that we're living in. If there's ever been a time that when the goodness of God needs to saturate our soul, it's the day and the hour that we're living in. I don't know about you, but friend, you and I are salt and light to a hurting and a lost and a dying world. And if all you and I can be is bitter and hateful and grouchy and rude and mean and nasty, just like the world, my friend, what good are we doing anybody? I pray, oh God, right now, saturate us. I mean, God, pour out in abundance the goodness of God upon your people and let us experience you. I'll get into some other stuff in a minute. But Paul reminded them, because Paul looked to himself. Hey, folks, you and I need to be thankful. Are you listening? You need to be thankful that How do I need to say this without hurting myself? Let me go down here and I'll say it a lot better to Sandra. You and I need to be thankful that what we do for God is not done by the power of the flesh. Because we would booger it up really, really bad. You think about the goodness, this young rich ruler, he said, "What good thing may I do that I may inherit the kingdom of God?" You cannot do anything good to inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. You can come to church. You can sit on a pew and you can pay your tithes and you can join. You can be a good member. But my friend, all of that, my friend, will fall short as we stand before God on judgment day. Paul even said, and you can read this as you look down through Romans chapter 7. Paul even battled with this and Paul struggled with this. I don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. He asked God to remove it. And God said, "My grace is sufficient. Somebody says, well, what is the theological understanding of that? I believe that Paul knew without shadow of a doubt when he was taken up into the third heavens that he could be exalted above measure. He could have got the big head. He could have got proud. He could have got blowed up in himself. He could have said, look at me. I am so good. I am so righteous. God chose me over all these other people. Oh, no, my friend. God said in the Word that the messenger of Satan come to buffet him. And through that situation, Paul sought God and he said, no, you're going to constantly depend upon my grace. If the Thomasville Church of God is going to go forward into the future, my friend, it's going to be the grace of God that's going to take us there. It cannot be done by our own goodness. Even as good as you are and as good as I am and as good as I try to be to everybody, we need to, as we've sung that song, and I can't help but sing it again, we need the river of God to flow into our hearts and to flow in our lives. Because he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, and everything that touches the river lives in the book of Revelation. Be a life giver. Be a life giver. Now, don't get mad at the preachers too early in the service for that. Anybody can be a murmurer. Did I say that right? Anybody can be a complainer. Anybody can be negative. Anybody can be very pessimistic. But we need to be optimistic. Even though I'm going through the things I'm going through, God is good. And I know who He is. And His goodness is running over me. I've got to see God in all of my circumstances around me. Why? Because I'm a child of God. And God, by nature of who God is good. So God in me. And God is doing a work in my heart. So therefore, everything I do, I need to wrap myself around the goodness of God. The Bible reminds us again when we think about the goodness of God. The Bible reminds us in the Scripture about several things. First of all, we need to rely on God's goodness because, I got ahead of myself a little bit, I apologize for that. Because our goodness, matter of fact, you don't need to turn to it, Kathy, on this one because I didn't write it down. I just happened to think about it. But over in the book of Isaiah chapter 1, the Bible says that our righteousness, what? Is as our filthy rags. Somebody says, what do you have to bring God? What gift do you have to bring God? Bring Him you. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, if you will. God, the Bible says that God has given you and I gifts, if you will. Bring Him you. You're not going to earn it. I'm talking to somebody. You're not going to earn it. You'll never be good enough. You'll never be smart enough. Listen, when I was a young feller, a young feller is right before a young man. When I was still a young feller, I thought, Brenda, and I said this to myself, I believe God's called me to preach, but I've got to read the Bible through, which we did in our MIP program, and I listened to more of it than I read because of my job at the time. Brother Dotson told me I could. But I thought, I've got to learn the entire Bible and know the entire Bible, Brother West, before I can ever preach. I had it in my mind that I had to learn everything there was ever to learn about the Bible. And I've been doing this a few years. I don't know about Brother West. He's a smart feller. There's still a lot in there I don't know. I'll turn over there and I'll see one of those strange names of the Old Testament sometimes. I just flip the page. I can't get into that right now. You know, I can't get into all that. You know, but God's goodness. And we think about how good God is. We think about how the Bible tells you and I that our sins are as filthy rags. And it takes God in us. Pharisee always thought they were good. Sadducee always thought they were good because they kept all the polity, if you will. But they didn't have God in their heart the way that God wants us to have God in our heart today. The Bible said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We've got to do good. I may not be good, but I've got to do good. I've got to do that is morally right. I've got to do that glorifies God. I've got to do that by that magnifies God. Now look at this in the Scripture. Again, you and I, we look at this, and I'm not going to go into the depth of it, but you and I this evening, we have a very sinful nature. But those that are His have crucified the flesh and what? The lust thereof. We're born with it. We're born with this nature within us. Adam and Eve in the garden. It is that time that God put them in a perfect place. But yet because of the decisions that they made and the power of the enemy that came over Eve at that time and then she over her husband, they fell from what God would classify at that time as the goodness in their life. So from that time to this, again, we think about how this thing that opposes goodness has run in the veins of all humanity. I look at the news sometimes and somebody says, I don't see how in the world that people can be so mean. Anybody besides me? You know, used to years ago, we heard of things that would happen in San Francisco or Chicago or New York, some of these great big cities. You turn on any news channel in our area any morning, because I watch morning news before I get my day going, and I sat there and mope over it. No, not really. I just turn it off. But you can turn the TV on, and you can see on any of the local news channels, shootings, murders, rapes sometimes. You can see all kinds of evil and all kinds of these things. At one time, we thought it was there. But it's all around us. It's everywhere we look these days. And the fact of the matter is, if you and I are not extremely careful these days in which we're living in, we very possibly could be sucked into that black hole of sin again. Now, I'll leave that part alone. That was for free. Someone may ask, did Jesus have a sinful nature? No. He was 100% man, but yet He was 100% God. The Bible reminds us, when we look at this, we can see this in the Scripture, of how that the Bible says about Him. He says, this is Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. Let me go back to verse 14 and I'll pull it all together. And he says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Look at verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, this infirmity that I feel, Jesus feels that infirmity. He knows that. And he says, that if you look at this, he says here in the Word, but was in all points tempted like as we. When I thought about that scripture today, I thought about that in regard to the sinful nature of humanity. I don't know what all Jesus endured while Jesus was here, but the Bible says here in the scripture that He was tempted in all points just like you and I. But yet the Bible says, without sin. Without sin. That's God right there, friend. We think about it. We think about it in the Scripture and we look at this and He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Bible reminds us again, and I'll let Kathy find this one real quick, that God in 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, 1 John 1 and 5 says this, that if God could have sinned, that means that there would have been evil in God and there was no evil in God at all. Here's what the Bible says. If you look at that, it says, this is the message which you have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light. God is light. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. And if God was not good, when I was reading through this, it would mean that God would be, I guess the way I would say that, that God would be associated with evil, or God would be attributed to evil. And God is not that way. The Bible says that there is no evil in Him at all. Here's the biggest question of the evening. No, not yet. I'm getting ahead of myself. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you what it is, and then we'll think about it later. Somebody says, can God tempt me with evil? Absolutely not. And I'll get to that maybe in a little bit. If you're being tempted this evening, friend, somebody said, well, God allowed this to happen, or this person to come into my life, and this, and God was tempting me to see if I would do this. Listen, God don't do stuff like that. God is not going to tempt you to sin. Hello? The Bible don't say that God will do that, because God says, the scripture says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. God cannot be tempted with evil, or God is not going to tempt you with evil. To say that God is good, that means that he always is good, and God always acts in accordance to what is right. That may not mean nothing to a whole lot of people, but I tell people from time to time, and I know it's a little cliche and it's a little tacky or a little corny or whatever the word might be, I tell people, I said, you do right long enough and eventually it'll catch up with you. Just keep doing right. Just keep doing the right thing. It may not feel good. You may feel like you're spinning your wheels in wet, slick grass, but again, one of these days you'll get a grip. Say that real fast 3 times while you're preaching. You'll get a grip. And you'll look back behind you one of these days, and you'll see all along the way the goodness of God was following you all the way. Again, when you look at this scripture, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, no evil at all, none. None at all. Again, when you think about that, it says that goodness is part of God's nature. And God cannot contradict his own nature. Holiness and righteousness is a part of who God is. That is why it's very important that you and I walk in biblical righteousness and biblical holiness. And he cannot do anything that is unholy or unrighteous. Somebody says, well, I'm trying to discern whether it's God or not. I'm trying to use discernment as to what God would have me to do or not. Well, is it leading you to goodness? Is it leading you on the path of righteousness for his name's sake? David said, yea, though I walk through the valley, and he uses that all the way down through Psalm chapter 23, 1 through 6, and he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God's goodness. I love God's goodness. I love living right. I love living the gospel way, if you will. Somebody says, you have any problem living right, preacher? Oh, no, I live with Sherry. No, I don't. She cracks a whip on me. No, I'm just picking on her. Oh, no, God, when God saved me, look at here. When God saved me, he took the stinger out. Amen. I don't have any desire. I don't have any want to. All I want to do is live for him and love him and honor him and use the vessel that he's gave me to glorify and magnify his name. That's why goodness is so important. What good thing shall I do? I can't do it within myself. I need him. I need him. Again, God is the standard of all that is good. Remember that. God has no evil in him. His intentions. Oh, I love this one. His intentions. Listen. God has no evil in him. God has no evil in him at all. God's intention and God's motives are always good. Hello? He always does what is right. And the outcome of his plans is always good. The outcome of his plans over my life is always good. Sometimes we get tripped up. Sometimes things happen in our life. Sometimes it seems like that the enemy has plotted a destructive course in our pathway. But friend, the only thing I can tell you is hold on to the goodness of God, because God is for you and not against you. You lay your hand to the hand of God, and don't you ever look back again. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Now here's what I picked up on when I wrote that verse down, and no doubt in my mind, I've read that scripture over and over again, but this is what jumped off the page at me today. For I know the thoughts that I think. God is not thinking evil thoughts against His children. God says, I'm thinking good thoughts towards you. Yes, and amen. God is thinking good thoughts towards you. He says here, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Look at this. God's thinking thoughts of peace. Are you walking in peace this evening? God is thinking about you. And then He said, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Again, I love that scripture that God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, and then not of evil, to give you an expected end. God that cannot sin. Scripture teaches us that God has an expected end for you and me, and that is for you and I to experience the goodness of God in all of His nature. And goodness is seen in all of God's creation. When we think about creation this evening, we think about the Word of God over and over and over and over and over again. You can see that in the scripture over in the book of Genesis, over in chapter 1 and verse 31, I think it is. And God looked at everything that God had made, and God said, it is good. I think about our world today, how mixed up and messed up our world is. Now I'm going to get on a little soap dish here for a minute. A young man sent me something the other day, and I'm not going to call names because he may not want his name mentioned. Somebody in his church, matter of fact. He's not a preacher, not a teacher. Nobody like that. Just somebody that comes. He sent me this article, and I thought it was fake. So I done a little research on it, and other people, you know where I'm going with this. So over in our neighboring town and our neighboring city, they're starting an after-school Satan club for them to indoctrinate. Oh, it's just for crafts. It's just for equality. It's just for the children to come and have some. You can look it up. You can look it up. It's out there. It's even on my page. Brother Wes, this is an organization. I can't, for the life of me, I can't even think of it right now. But it is an organized group of individuals that's got chapters in state after state after state after state after state. And for the life of me, I can't think of the name of it. It's the Satan Club, but it's the organization that's behind it. Maybe it's, I'm not thinking of it for a reason. I don't know. But it, you can go on that webpage, and it's a satanic temple. And it goes, and you can read it, and you can see it. And there's a pastor in the Greensboro area. I did say the city, didn't I? That's in that district, that's trying to stand up against this. Somebody told me, well, they ought to be a Christian organization that comes right in behind them and wants to start a Christian club and see if they're going to actually let that Christian club join in into that school. And I thought to myself, I hope and pray, Brother Steve Jones, that that mess don't come into Davidson County right here near Thomasville, because I'm going to probably embarrass this church. Probably not, because you would stand with me. We cannot stand by and let this type of stuff destroy the mind of our children. It is going to be worse even then than it's ever been if we just idly sit by and don't do anything but stick our head in the mud and not educate ourselves about these type of things. You say, well, you're going to run for school board. I don't have any students in school or children in school, but there's children in this church that goes to school in these places, and one voice is better than no voice, and I didn't say I was going to or not, but somebody needs to stand up and say something. But I'm telling you, that it's crazy. We live in a world today where the Bible said that men, their consciousness is being seared as with an hot iron, to the point that that Romans 1 says it plain. Alan Green don't have to say it. Romans says it. That they would leave the natural effect of their bodies, and men with men and women with women. I didn't say that. And I'm standing and I'm authorized and credentialed to preach the Word of God. And if I don't, I can have my license revoked. And it says it right on the bottom by the authority at any time. Now it's getting quiet in the church, ain't it? Because it's a truth. But the Bible reminds us that men will be to the point in their last days. They'll call evil good and good evil. Let there not be a confusion about us this evening about what is good and the goodness of God and what is evil. Because God is not evil. Now, let me wrap this up. The Bible says that God created it all in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and 31. And this is what the Word of God says. And God saw everything that He had made. And behold, it was very good. 1 Timothy 4 and 4, we don't have to go there, but he says, for everything created by God is good. God created it all. Satan, who was an anointed cherub, you say, was Satan created by God? He was created in the beginning. He's a created being. That Isaiah talks about this, that where he said that he rebelled and he brought, what is it, Brother Raymond, a third of the angels out with him. That Peter talks about that is reserved even now in chains of darkness until they be judged. Ain't that what the Word says? And then we think about it, we think about that they're even there now. But a third of them, he convinced a third of the angels to rebel against God. Satan himself, my friend, rebelled against the goodness of God, and evil entered into humanity. Until then, it wasn't that way. Satan was an anointed cherub. And then man was created in the image of God. The Bible says that. And again, the Bible says that everything that he created was good. But yet evil took over the heart of man. The Bible reminds us that we are to guard our heart. Guard our heart. Don't let anything that's not the goodness of God. You say, well, the devil's always coming and knocking on the door. You don't have to give him a key. You say, well, you're talking to the saints in the church. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It don't make no difference how long you've been saved. The devil is afoot, and I'm not glorifying the devil. His job description says, the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you look under the job description of Satan, that's what you'll find on his resume. And I didn't come here to glorify the devil. I come to talk about the goodness of God. I'd rather stay in the goodness of God, right? God's goodness should always lead us. Watch this. God's goodness should always lead us to thankful living. God's goodness shall always lead us to thankful living. Psalm 107 verses 1 and 2 says these very words, and it talks about this in the psalm. Several places throughout the psalm, you can see it, the book of Psalm. And he talks about how, and it opens up and it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. His goodness should lead us to thankful living. Somebody said, well, God ain't never done anything for me. Oh, my friend. You're breathing. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His love, His mercy endureth forever. Verse 2 says this. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let that be your testimony of the goodness of God. And then he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. God's goodness is experiential. It's very hard for you and I to tell somebody else how good God is if we ourselves have not experienced it for ourselves. You know what it means when the preacher shuts his Bible?
Absolutely nothing. I had to do that. The goodness of God is experiential. You can tell me all day long how good Sister Neely's peach cobbler is, example. But until I've eaten it for myself, you don't make it. Just kidding. My point is, you can tell somebody all day how good God is. But until they have experienced Him for themselves, they'll never know it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom God has delivered out of the hand of the enemy. Look at this in the scripture. There's several more scriptures I want to mention here. Psalm 118 and 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." Because of the goodness of God, we need to be thanks living. His mercy endures forever. And then the last one is this. Psalm 34 and 8, the Bible says that you've got to taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34 and 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. Well, some of you are new, so I know you've never heard the story, so I'll do it for the sake of those that's never heard it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. When I was a kid, my granny canned. My granny would, she'd probably can 200 quarts of green beans a year. I mean, we lived on green beans, I guess, you know. They'd pop them things and string them and sit around 3 or 4 days popping in and shit. There'd be a going on in the kitchen and a popping on the front porch. Anybody know what that pressure cooker? I was always afraid of them things. Somebody said, the top will blow off of that thing. I'd stay away from it. I ain't getting near it. She'd make all kinds of stuff. I'd go to my granny's house, and sometimes she would be boiling cabbage. She'd make kraut. She'd make cabbage. And I'd walk in her front, back door, whichever, and it just smelled putrid. I mean, it just, oh, people eat that stuff. I mean, oh. Cabbage. Why would anybody eat cabbage? I mean, it smelled so bad. And I would tell that story. There's a lady, she's passed away now. She's from Mississippi. She lived in Jackson, Mississippi. Ethel Freeman. She said, "I'll make you some cabbage. I guarantee you'll love it." So I took a risk. I went out to her little trailer that her and her husband lived in. And I'd done said I was going to do it. All I could smell was my granny's kitchen. I thought, okay, here we go. You know, it's like, I sat down at the table. She probably had some black-eyed peas or something to go with it. You know, Sister Freeman. Yeah. I got me a big old fork of that cabbage, and I go, oh, my God, help me, Jesus. I put it in my mouth and started chewing on it, and I went, wow. Ain't that something? See, I was only going by what I smelt and what I thought. You know, sinners today, we tell them about the goodness of God. They look at your Brother West and go, yeah, I've tried that religious stuff. That's your problem. You tried the religious stuff, but you never tried Jesus. Do you know what? To this day, and I'm telling on the preacher, I absolutely love boiled cabbage. Amen. If it's fixed right. Amen. So somebody says, well, the goodness of God, I'd sure like to have some of that. Why don't you get after Him? God's good. You might have had, look at Brother Steve this week. I mean, thank God. Maybe your week has not been very exuberant. Maybe this week's been very challenging. Just get a hold of God and let His goodness run over you. Let God touch you tonight. Let God just do a work in your heart. Do a work in your life. And I don't know about you, but I got some room in my life for some goodness tonight, don't you? And if God pours His goodness into you, guess what? you're going to go right out of this room everywhere you go, and the people's going to run into goodness. They're going to run into God. But without Him, as you stand with me, we cannot do this on our own. And I'm saying, God, I thank You for Your word, the goodness of God. I thank You, God, that Your mercy endures forever. And God, even now, where would we be? Because the Scripture says that Your goodness leadeth to salvation. And we're thankful for that this evening. Thankful for that salvation, God, that on the Sunday morning You run me down. God, I was without You. I was without You, Lord. I couldn't do it on my own. I couldn't do it on my own, Lord. And Lord, it was because of You that, God, that we stand here this day made whole. Lord, that young rich ruler went away sorrowful because he thought he was trusting in his riches, but yet, Lord, his riches perished with him. And Father, let us not trust in the things of this world for Your presence or anything else, but God, let us trust in You. Lord, I pray for that one that's in this room tonight that's struggling. God, I pray for that one that's having a hard time tonight. I pray for that one, God, this evening that needs a touch of the hand of God over their life. If you're here tonight and you need us to pray for you, by all means, come and let us pray for you. Father, we thank You and we love You. And God, let us just bask in the freshness of Your presence, Lord. And Lord, we honor You and we praise You and we thank You, God. In Jesus' name. My question at the end is simply this. Have you experienced the goodness of God? Can I see your hand? Go and tell somebody. Like the woman at the well, come see a man. Amen. God bless you. Sunday morning, Jesus Jam.